The psalmist David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And anytime we come to God's house and hear God's word, we ought to have a heart that is tender, a heart that is teachable. So I ask you tonight, are you tender? Are you teachable? Are you ready to listen and obey? And really, the song prepares our hearts to hear the word of God. Because over and over you heard, "Speak and we will hear." And of course, we know that real listening is not just with our ears, it's with our life. And so I hope that we'll be ready to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus except to trust and obey. For this is God's holy word. We can depend on it and we ought to obey it. And so I'm glad you're here tonight. And I know you've come not to hear from a preacher, but to hear from God's word, from God himself. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. Before we open our Bibles, let's dismiss the children. Dismissing the children 4 years of age up through the fourth grade. I'm thankful for our instrumentalists also who've been playing in our services this week. Appreciate each of them. They're going to find their places as well. As we open our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26. And of course, we know the book of Proverbs is there to teach us wisdom and instruction, to guide us into God's truth. And it's a wonderful book of the Bible. We're going to jump off of one verse in the book of Proverbs and then go to several other verses tonight. And a very important message tonight that will help us and encourage us to be open and transparent before God and others. I believe one of the worst things that is happening in the church today is that in our churches today, there are a lot of people who are living in the great sin of hypocrisy. For example, many people that are unsaved, that are heathen, that are living in the world today, maybe some that you even know might say this, "Well, I don't go to church because of all the hypocrites." And so tonight I want to preach a message that will help us to understand and that will help us to see any sort of hypocrisy that might be in our lives. I want to warn you tonight, this is a tough message. And it's a message not only for the person in the chairs, but it's the message for a person behind the pulpit, because this preacher needs to practice what he preaches. Listen, if God is a real God, then we ought to be real Christians. This is God's house. This is his word. This is all about God. And God is not fake and phony. He's not a figment of our imagination. And so it's time for us to realize that if God is real and his Savior is real, then we need to be real. We need to be genuine, transparent, sincere believers. This is a message that, first of all, may wake someone up. Maybe tonight you're living in the sin of hypocrisy. Maybe you really are literally acting out the part. That's what the idea of hypocrite is. It's an actor. Back in the ancient world, they would carry masks when they would act. They would have different masks that they would put up in front of their face, and maybe they would change their voices. But you know what? The reality is, sometimes we as Christians wear a mask and we try to put up a facade. And we're really not being open and honest about what is true. You know what God wants to do? God wants tonight to remove the mask. He wants us to take away the mask. And what you see is what you get. That's a good policy. One of the best things that somebody could ever say to us is, "You know what I like about you? You're just real. You're just genuine." That's a good thing, isn't it? God doesn't want us to be acting the part. God doesn't want us to be a hypocrite. He wants us to be sincere and genuine before him. And so tonight we've opened to Proverbs chapter 26, and notice verse 23, which I believe is a verse that speaks about the subject of formalism, hypocrisy, religious acting. And it says this, Proverbs 26, verse 23, it says, "Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross." Now, remember, the book of Proverbs gives us wisdom statements. These are short, simple, wise statements that lead us into other truth. They are general statements that apply to our lives. And so in order to uncover that, I believe it's important that we define what this verse is really saying. He says, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. As I was studying this verse, I found that one commentator put it very well. Here's what he said about Proverbs 26, verse 23. He said, one who makes fervent professions of love and affection, while all along their heart is bent on doing evil, that person is like a cheap clay vessel covered up with a veneer of drossy silver. That's a really good commentary on this verse. You see, if you were living in Bible times, you might go down to the potter's shop. And believe it or not, men and women, I'm sure, both went pottery shopping. You would not catch me today going pottery shopping, okay? But if you were living in Bible times, you might go down to the potter's shop, and pretty much everybody used those clay vessels to hold the stuff in their house, to hold the meal, to hold other items, to hold the liquids in their house. And so everybody would go to the potter shop. And if you did not know what you were doing and you didn't trust the potter, you might pay for something that was worthless clay covered up with silver dross. Silver dross looks like silver and it shines like silver, but it's not real. It's not genuine. And so what a crooked, deceitful potter would do is he would take that worthless clay pot, maybe it would have some chips and some cracks in it, he would cover it up with silver dross, put it on the shelf, and sometimes mark it up to full price for real silver. And if you didn't know what you were doing, you were buying something that was worthless, that was a facade, that was fake. Typically, if you were to go pottery shopping, you might take that vessel, especially the clay ones, and you might hold it up to the light. And the word sincere and the word insincere literally comes from that terminology. They would look at the vessel, and if they could not see any light filling in the cracks, filling in the problems, then they would say that vessel is sincere. But if they would hold up the vessel and they could see light coming through where the potter had kind of connected it and glued it together, and the light would come through the paint and through the wax, they would say that vessel is insincere. And so tonight, the light of God, the light of the Word of God needs to shine on our vessel. It needs to shine on us. Because folks, one of the most devastating things to the work of the gospel, one of the most destructive tools in the hands of Satan is a hypocritical Christian. Listen, there's nobody in this room that hasn't struggled with maybe times of hypocrisy. But for all of us, we need to make sure we're genuine and that we're honest and we're open and that we are literally sincere, that we do not have burning lips and a wicked heart. So tonight we're going to just look at some characteristics of a hypocrite and just evaluate, are those characteristics a part of my life? Are those characteristics being lived out in me? Because we need to remove all hypocrisy so that we wake up and we take off the mask. Or maybe it warns us. You see, those are the two purposes of this message: to wake us up if we are an actor, or to warn us not to be an actor. There is plenty of religious duty going on in the name of Christianity, but folks, we need to be sincere, genuine people. What you see is what you get. All right, so let's take our Bibles, first of all, and turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. And as we turn there, again, I want to tell you, this is a tough message. I understand that. And if you respond in a message like this, there might be a temptation of the devil for you to not respond, because I don't want people to think I'm a hypocrite. But folks, one of the best things we can do is admit what God already knows. One of the best things we can do is remove the mask and be honest with God and others about what is true. And there's really no one as a Christian that hasn't at times struggled with just playing the part, going through the motions of faith, going through the motions of religious accomplishments. So we're going to look at these characteristics, and I just ask you to have a tender and teachable heart. Because the name of God is at stake. The glory of God is at stake in the church. And people do say that. I don't go to church because of all the hypocrites. But by God's grace, there won't be hypocrites at Meadowlands Baptist Church. Can I get an amen, please, on that one? We don't want to have hypocrites. We want to be genuine. So let's notice here in Ezekiel chapter 33, starting in verse 31, let's notice the first characteristic of someone who is living with burning lips and a wicked heart. Verse 31 says this, "And they come unto me, unto thee, as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Notice the burning lips and the wicked heart. Their mouth shows love, but their heart is full of covetousness. "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." All right, it is clear in this text of Scripture that we are living hypocritical Christian lives, number one, when we hear God's word, but we do not heed God's warning. When we hear God's word, but we don't heed God's warning. When the message goes in one ear and out the other, and we nod to God and we say amen and we agree with the words, but we're really not obeying it, we're living like a hypocrite. When we hear, but we don't heed God's warnings. Now, it's interesting. In verse 32, he gives us a powerful illustration. He says, when we do this, it's like listening to somebody that has a beautiful voice or somebody that can play well on an instrument. And I'm sure we've all been to a concert or we've all been to a place where somebody was a professional and somebody did something beautiful and we appreciated the music, but it really didn't change us. In other words, we forget about it. It doesn't change the way that we live. It's just beautiful music ringing in our ears. And he says, when we come to God's house or when we hear the message or when we read God's word and we listen to it, but we don't obey, it's like listening to a beautiful concert and applauding it, but not doing what God wants. You know what I think? I think there are a lot of Christians who applaud the messages, but they don't apply the messages. You know what God wants? You know what every preacher wants? Anybody that is really preaching for the glory of God wants? We don't want you to just say, hey, great message. We want you to obey. And most importantly, God wants you to obey. It's not enough to applaud the message. We must apply the message. You know, you start to think about how many times we as believers have the privilege, and it is a privilege, of hearing the word of God. What a joy. What a privilege. Listen, every Christian should just enjoy and rejoice in the privilege of hearing the word of God. But isn't it true that we can go through the motions and come to church and hear the message and really not be actively, aggressively obeying what we hear? You know, it would be interesting to find out how many people even remember what was preached on Sunday, or even worse, last Sunday. Do we remember what was shared? Do we write down some things that we're going to change? Are we actively, aggressively pursuing obedience to the word of God? Because when we hear God's word, but we don't heed, we are living hypocritical lives. God's word is not meant to be just education. It's definitely not meant to be entertainment. God's word is to exhort us to be different and to change. Now, there's a wonderful New Testament text that reminds us of this. Maybe you're familiar with James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 21, "Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." I'm so thankful tonight that I can say to you, there's only one place where God reveals salvation, and that's in the word of God. If you've come tonight and you've never been saved, you've come to the right place, because this church is not about tradition. It's about truth. And truth is revealed in the word of God. John 17:17, "Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth." There is no other place to find out about salvation. There is no other place to read about the gospel. There is no other place to find that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's right here in the word of God. And for many of us, we've already experienced that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so James tells us that salvation is revealed in the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. God saves us, but he shows us about that salvation through his Word. James goes on in that text and he says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only." Did you hear that? "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Folks, don't you realize tonight that the worst deception in the world is self-deception? Thinking you're okay, thinking that you're spiritual, thinking that you're right with God, when all along you're really not. We deceive ourselves when we think that listening to God is what makes us spiritual. Listen, when we come to church and we hear the messages, that's not what makes us spiritual. You know what makes us spiritual? It's when we leave out of these doors and we obey. That's where spirituality is proven. It's in our life when we do what God says. And so he says, "Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a doer of the Word and not a hearer, or a hearer of the Word and not a doer, I will liken him unto a man who beholds his face in a glass," or literally a mirror. "And he beholds himself, and he goeth his way, and forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that's the Word of God, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed." Who's the blessed person? The one who listens and obeys. Now, once again, he gives us a great illustration, because how many of you looked in the mirror today? If you did, just raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you just have natural beauty, right? And all the men would say amen to that. No, you wouldn't. Okay. Some of you probably looked in the mirror this morning and thought, "I've got a lot of problems to fix." Because when we wake up in the morning, we don't look so good, do we? Now, wouldn't it be absurd to look at yourself in the mirror and not fix what you see? For example, tomorrow night, let's all come to the service the same way we looked when we woke up. Some of you would be unrecognizable. We would think the church has brand new members. Who's that lady? Never seen her before. Look at her hair. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? It's absurd and ridiculous to think that anyone would look at themselves in the mirror and not change when they know they need to change. Fix the problems. And so what the ladies do is they pull out their tackle boxes. You know what I'm saying? They get all these tools. And it is crazy what they do to fix the problems that they see. Now, guys, I'm just glad I'm a man. Amen. Because these ladies will take these tweezers and pluck their eyebrows out. And then they'll take a pencil and write them back on. That's just crazy, isn't it? But I know, ladies, because I am a man, men stand in front of the mirror too. We have to make sure everything's right. And so it'd be absurd for all of us to come tomorrow night. I would even look a little different. You would definitely look different. That's absurd to think that you look in the mirror and you don't change. God's Word is the mirror. And folks, it is equally as absurd and ridiculous that God would reveal to us every week when we come to hear his Word, that God would reveal to us his truth. And the truth about himself and the truth about us and the way that we are living and the actions we have and the attitudes of our heart. And then we would walk away from God's mirror and we would never do anything about it. Listen, I said this earlier in the week. I think there are a lot of people and frankly, a lot of Christians who really treat church like it's a spectator event. And what I'm doing up here is kind of an exercise in, you know, public speaking. Wow, that was great. Whoa, you know, what a speaker. Listen, folks, there is something way more important going on. It's the hearts of God's people. It's the growth in spiritual righteousness. It's becoming more like Jesus Christ. And so when we hear messages and God touches our heart, we better be ready to do something about it. You know, the greatest preacher ever to preach was obviously Jesus, right? He preached the greatest message in the Bible. We read what's called the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a great message. I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have heard it right from the lips of the Prince of Preachers, Jesus Christ himself. And when he preached his message, at the end of the message, at the end of Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, Jesus said this, "Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon what? The rock." How many of you have ever sung that song before? Anybody ever sung? That would be really fun to do tonight, but we're not going to, okay? But what he's saying is, there is great stability in marriage, family, raising children, church life, business life. There is great stability when you obey God. "But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him to a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand, and the rains come, the floods come, and they beat upon that house. And what happens to the house on the sand? There's no foundation. There's no stability. There's no security." And we love to do this in the song. "And the house on the sand falls." And kids love to do that. But folks, it's fun in the song, but it's terrible if it's actually somebody's life. And they really have no stability and they have no security and there's no foundation because they are expert listeners. They love to hear what God says, but they're not living it. And that is hypocritical. It's playing the part of Christianity. Real Christianity is, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. By the way, this is why I think when we come to church, we ought to be active listeners. We ought to be ready to hear God. I see some of you, many of you actually, taking some notes, writing some things down. I think that's a positive thing to do. Why? Because this is not entertainment or education. This is exhortation so that we would go out and obey what God says. And so I want to encourage you, even with this message, don't let it go in and out, in your ear and out the other, and just forget about it. But let's be different. Let's change as a result of the truth of the Word of God. We have burning lips and a wicked heart when we hear God's word, but we do not heed. So obvious, I need to ask this question. What have you been hearing from God's word? What have you been reading from God's word or listening to from God's word that you are not obeying right now? Let's take the mask off. Let's admit the problems we have. Let's look in the mirror and be doers of the word of God and not hearers only. Don't you see how quickly we can fall into that trap of being hypocritical? And we will turn people away from the church. We will turn people away, worse, even from Christ and the gospel. And for the sake of God and his glory, we need to be real, actively obedient to God's word. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. We become fervent but fake when we obey God's or hear God's word, but we don't obey his word. And secondly, we find in Isaiah chapter 29, the second characteristic tonight about someone who has burning lips and a wicked heart. Someone who is like that clay pot that's just trying to gloss over with silver dross. First of all, when we hear God, but we don't heed his warning. But secondly, I believe this text reveals to us the second characteristic. We are hypocritical, number two, when we profess with our lips, but we don't practice with our life. When we profess with our lips, but we don't practice with our life. Look what he says in Isaiah 29, verse 13. It says, "Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth." There's the burning lips, right? "They draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." This is a powerful verse in the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. And there is one sure way to figure out what the context of an Old Testament verse is. The first thing you do is you look for, is it in the New Testament? And do you realize, folks, that Jesus Christ himself quoted this verse? Jesus quoted this verse, and I think we could all agree Jesus would never take a text of Scripture out of context, right? He was using it in his proper way, and he was quoting it to a group of religious leaders called the Pharisees. And what did Jesus say to them? You draw near me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And what do we know about the Pharisees? They had all the talk, but they had no walk to back it up. And Jesus literally called them hypocrites. So what we know is this text is talking about hypocrisy. And I believe the specific characteristic is when we profess with our lips, but we don't practice with our life. You know what, folks? Lip service is really easy. Come to church, tell everybody you love God. It's easy to give lip service. It's really hard to give life service. God doesn't want lip service. He wants life service. Listen, I think it is appropriate to say we love God. I think it is appropriate to say that we're followers of Jesus. I think it's appropriate to name the name of Christ and speak the truth in love. I believe all of that is appropriate. But the most important thing is not what we say, but the most important thing is what we show. I learned it this way when I was a kid. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Think you can try that with me? Say it with me. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. That's true, right? Maybe we could just say it simply this way. Talk is cheap. For example, if I were to come in here tonight and say, I can play basketball like Michael Jordan, what would everybody want to do? I heard somebody laugh. That's what you should do first. If I said that, then everybody would want to go to the gym afterwards. Okay, Brother Mark, you said you can play basketball like Michael Jordan. And by the way, I love to play basketball. It is one of my favorite sports, if not my favorite sport. But what you would find out is talk is cheap. Those of you that play basketball, surely you know, most of the time, the guys that talk the most don't have a game to back it up. My dad always taught me, when you go on the court, let your game do the talking. Show it on the court. And you know what you find out? I don't like Mike. I don't shoot like Mike. I don't run like Mike. I don't do anything like Mike. I do have a twin brother. His name is Mike. He looks like me, but that's not the Michael I'm talking about. I have nothing in common with Michael Jordan when it comes to playing basketball. I wish I did, but talk is cheap. It's not what I say that matters. It's what I show that matters. Actually, Titus 1 verse 16, the Bible says they profess that they know God. That's their lip service. They profess to know God, but in their works, they deny him. Do you realize it is possible that you would say that you love God and even say that you're a Christian, but that actually your life and your lifestyle would totally contradict everything that you say? And obviously, we know this is a significant problem in the church today, because there are many pagan people, many heathen people who think to themselves, if that person's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it. They say they love God, but look, they're no different than me. That's hypocrisy. But it's not just in the matter of our salvation or sanctification, but even in the matter of specifically knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. The Bible says, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is entering into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know this is probably not a shock to you, but just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean they are. Did you know that? Recently, I heard on Fox News in the United States a statistic that was just startling to me. I know it's definitely not true. It was propagated on national news that 83% of all Americans, and I don't know what it would be in Canada, but I know this was the statistic in America, 83% of all Americans say they're Christians. Does anybody in here believe that's true? They're not real Christians. Real Christians don't just say they're Christians. Real Christians prove it. They prove it with their life and their lifestyle. And we know that because the scripture tells us in the book of James chapter 2, faith without works is what? Dead. You know what I believe? I believe a real Christian doesn't just talk the talk, but they walk the walk. It's called the perseverance of the saints. It's proved in their life. It's proved in their testimony. It's proved when they go through trials. It's proved when they resist temptation. This doesn't mean that Christians don't make mistakes. It just means that we will be working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And that if we're genuine Christians, there'll be an obvious fruit. By their fruits, you shall know them. Boy, I'll tell you, the worst type of hypocrisy would be that you actually think you're a Christian, but you're really not. There are people like that. And I believe when we get to heaven, just as I quoted earlier, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is entering the kingdom of heaven. And there's going to be people who stand before God and they're going to say, God, did we not prophesy in your name? You know what that tells me? There might even be religious leaders who are deceiving themselves. They're not even genuine Christians. Did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, Lord, did we not do many wonderful works? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. This is why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, where the Bible says, let a man examine himself to see if he is in the faith. I think there is such an emphasis on the experience of salvation, and there's very little emphasis on the perseverance of salvation. And we're depending on a prayer we prayed or an aisle we walked or something we wrote in our Bible. But if you have, if you claim to be a professing Christian and there's no change, no difference in your life, no change, no Christ. I like to say it this way. Salvation is not a profession that we make. Salvation is a conversion that God brings to our life. That doesn't mean we don't have to call. We do have to call. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord from our heart, we call upon the name of the Lord and we can be saved. And yes, salvation does get confessed with our lips. But the point is, what's more important? What's more important is not what you say. It's the fruit and the proof that shows up in your life. So in the matter of salvation, we need to make sure that it's not just all talk. We need to check our lives. We need to make sure there's the evidence. We need to make sure that there's real change going on and that we're really genuinely true followers of Jesus Christ. And I would say if you're here tonight and you profess to be a Christian, but you see absolutely no evidence or fruit in your life, that you ought to just check up and make sure that you're a genuine child of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't just profess it, but possess it and let it change you. But it's not just in the matter of salvation, but what about our spiritual growth and our active life in Christ? Isn't it true that it's easy to say we're going to commit ourselves or say that we're going to be surrendered or say that we're going to do something for God and then really not follow through? Real, non-hypocritical, sincere Christianity is people that match their lips with their life. They match their lips with their life. Several years ago, I was traveling on a musical team. I was traveling around the country and I stayed at lots of different places. But this one particular home that I stayed in, I will never forget what happened. We walked into the house and I found out very quickly that the people there were what I call pack rats. Does anybody know what a pack rat is? I don't see anybody looking at their spouse. That's you. No. It's somebody that collects, somebody that hoards. Somebody that keeps everything. And so when we walked into the house, there was stuff everywhere. I mean, there was stacks of newspapers, stacks of toys, stacks of stuff, clothes everywhere. I mean, the place was a total mess because these people didn't ever want to get rid of anything. And I was thankful we were staying there, and especially he was giving us a dessert at the table. We were sitting there eating some ice cream, and we had just come from the service. And I remember he looked across the table. The man in the house looked across the table and he said to me these words. He said, hey, I want you guys to know that I've got 30 riding lawnmowers in my garage. And I was like, really? And we did what some of you just did. We kind of chuckled under our breath, kind of looked at each other like, yeah, right. It was almost like he got a little bit intense and almost offended by us not believing him. And he's like, hey, you want to go see him? We're like, sure. Let's go. And he proceeded to walk us out to his garage. It was more like an airline hangar. It was huge. It was a parking garage for riding lawnmowers. Now, what he did is he had taken all these riding lawnmowers. He had rebuilt a lot of their engines and he was keeping them for this special occasion at their church. It was a youth activity called Polo on Wheels. Pastor Nate, you might want to write this one down, okay? I promise you, you will have a crowd, and it won't just be the teenagers. So what they would do is they would take all these riding lawnmowers. They obviously removed all the lawn equipment, the decking on the bottom where the blades and all that. And they would just take the tractor. They would deliver them to a soccer field or some football field. They would split up teams. They would give every teenager a croquet ball, a croquet mallet, and a tractor. And they would play polo on wheels, 15 on 15, driving across the soccer field, trying to hit their croquet ball through the goal. How many of you think that's a cool activity? It's an awesome activity, right? I wouldn't want to just stand and watch. I would want to play that sport, right? Now, that's a silly story, but it has a simple truth to it. He made a very impressive, startling statement at the table. He said, I've got 30 riding lawnmowers in my garage. And we were like, yeah, right, sure. And then he walked us out there and he showed it to us. And what I want to say, folks, is really that illustration pictures what really ought to be happening in our lives. It's okay for us to make startling statements of Christian faith to our friends and relatives and church members. But what's more important is that we walk out and we show it to them. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. You know, it is so easy to give lip service. But where the real diligence and discipline comes in is actually living it. Don't just say what you're going to do, but actually do, follow through, and don't live in hypocritical Christianity by professing with your lips, but not practicing with your life. One more text we want to look at. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58. I told you this is a tough message, but it's a needed message. It is devastating to the work of God to have churches with actors, people who show up to church every Sunday, but they're really not living what they say they're living. They're professing with their lips, but they're not practicing with their life. They're listening to the messages. They're hearing God's word, but they're not heeding. Listen, we're no different than any other denominational, religious, traditional church if we're just going to go through the motions. Listen, this church is not about that. It's not tradition. It's truth. It's not religion and ritual. It's relationship. God is looking for sincere, genuine people. Because if God is real, we need to be real. Isaiah 58 gives us this third characteristic. And the third characteristic is this. We are living as a hypocrite, number three, when we focus on outward action, but we forget inward attitude. When we focus on outward action, but we forget inward attitude. Now, do me a favor. Don't read verse 1. We'll come back to verse 1. Don't look at it now, okay? Start with verse 2. Notice all the external conduct. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wow, these people have it down. They're approaching God. They're fasting. They're praying. They're having their devotions, we could say. They're worshiping the Lord. And if you were to just isolate verse 2 away from the context, away from what we're going to see in verse 1, you would think externally, spiritually speaking, these people had it down. But notice verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. So what we know, according to verse 1, is though it looks really good on the outside, and though all the external conducts of religion are taking place, there's something not right. There's obviously a problem. There's obviously sin. Verse 3 says this, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? God, don't you see all of the external things we're doing? We're obeying the standards. We're giving our tithe. I'm putting it in our common vernacular, our type of ministry. We're attending the services. We're wearing the right clothes. We're singing the songs, and we are aggressively and attentively listening to the messages. God, we're doing all the external things. What more do you want? And he says in verse 3, at the end of verse 3, he says, behold, in the day of your fast, in the day of your religious activities, is the idea here. You find pleasure and exact all your labors. In other words, they were doing a lot of external good things, but they were doing it with a wrong heart. Do you realize, folks, it is possible to do right things and still be wrong? That's possible. Motivation is important. Why we do what we do is important. Why were they doing what they were doing? Look at verse 4. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. This is amazing. They were actually doing good things in order to be spiteful and to show anger and bitterness towards another person. They were doing what they were doing for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. The second reason they were doing it is so that they would be seen. The end of verse 4. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. And isn't this a trap that we fall into, that we're kind of doing what we're doing to make ourselves look better and make somebody else look worse? Where we're doing what we're doing so that people recognize us and they see, wow, what a spiritual person. Look at that person and that family. And those are all wrong reasons to serve God. We don't serve God out of the fear of men. We serve God out of the fear of God. We honor and love Him and serve Him because of who He is, not because of everybody watching us, and not because of the religious obligations we feel. We serve Him out of a heart of love. And so it says in verse 5, is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? The idea of these questions is all that God is looking for is the external motion of religion and activity, spiritual activity. Just obey the standards. Just do the church attendance. Just follow through with those obligations and you'll be fine. No, my friends, tonight, God is not looking for externalism. God is looking for us to live for Him from the inside out. God wants our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I think there is a great danger for us as Christians, and specifically as conservative Christians, theologically, culturally, in a church like this, where we want to be set apart and different and distinct from the world. There is a danger for us to think that as long as I got all the external things going right, I must be right. But it's really all about our heart. I am not opposed to teaching standards. I'm not opposed to having strong standards of conduct and strong standards of how we're going to live in this culture. I think that is absolutely appropriate according to the Word of God. I'm just saying we need to be careful that we don't give such a focus on external standards that we forget the most important thing is that we're doing those standards out of a right heart. Because we could become hypocritical by focusing on external action and forgetting inward attitude. And so he says in verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now the prophet's going to reveal what God is really longing for in our religious activity, in our external things, to loose the bands of wickedness. God wants us to be holy. You realize it's possible to do a lot of religious things, do a lot of external good things and not be holy. God wants us to be holy. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke. God wants us to have a forgiveness, a forgiving spirit. There are people that do all the externals, but they've been holding a root of bitterness for years. It's not right. It's not right with God. That's hypocritical. To do all the standards, to obey all the rules, to go follow through with all the external actions of religion while all along you are covering up a root of bitterness that needs to be dealt with in your heart. And then he says in verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? The idea is to be compassionate, to show love and kindness. So I think there's a danger in our lives to become hypocritical by just putting on the right clothes, saying the right words, singing the right songs, going to the right services. And all along, our heart is not right. Our heart is not in it. You know, I think about this a lot because I'm in a traveling ministry. I'm in a ministry where I'm raising my family and literally every night we go to church. Don't feel sad for us. We love what we do. We're so thankful. But I will tell you, with the training of my children, I am very cautious about this. I don't want to raise just good kids. Well, just get up there, just say the right words, just sing the right songs, wear the right clothes, and just be good. I don't want good kids. I want godly kids. And that takes a lot of effort. That takes a lot of time to really dig down into their heart and get to the heart issues and the heart matters that will help them live for God from the inside out. Because God is more concerned with the inside than the outside. And if your heart's right, the outside will be right. If you really are right on the inside, you will do those external things. But it's possible to go through all the motions of externalism and not be right with God. You know what's interesting? When we eat our food, we care more about the inside than the outside, don't we? Now, some of you I know probably care about the presentation of the dish, right? But most of us as men, frankly, we don't care what it looks like as long as it tastes good. When I sit down and eat a steak, I don't care what the shape is. I don't care what it looks like. It could be a little charred, but it needs to be medium well. As long as it's a medium well, that's fine. Hey, when you grab an apple, you better be concerned with the inside more than the outside, right? Because it may shine on the outside. It may look like a really good apple. But if you're not careful, you might have something nasty in your mouth pretty soon. Why? Because the inside's more important than the outside. So let's not get the cart before the horse and think that we can fool everybody by just doing the external actions of religion. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. When we hear God's word, but we don't heed, when we profess with our lips, but we don't practice with our life, and when we focus on outward action and we forget inward attitude, we are living as an actor. We are living as a hypocrite. And what I'm saying tonight is we ought to allow God to root it all out. It's a destructive thing. Right here in Edmonton, right here at Meadowlands Baptist Church, it would be a sad thing to have church members who are living hypocritically and really pushing people away from the church instead of drawing people to the church. Pushing people away from Christ instead of drawing people to Christ. It was the 1980 Boston Marathon. Interesting story happens that year. A lady crosses the finish line and is named the winner of the race. Her name was Rosie Reese. She had illegally entered the race. She had illegally obtained the number from the New York Marathon, and somehow she jumps into the race. And do you realize that Rosie Reese only ran 1 mile out of 26.2 miles? She jumped in at the 25-mile mark as a total fraud, a total phony. She crosses the finish line. Everybody interviews her as the winner of the race. It took them a week to figure out she wasn't in any of the photos, in any of the video coverage. She didn't even run the race. And they gave the prize to the second person, the real winner of the race. She was a total hypocrite. She was an actor. She was a fraud. Listen, the Bible says our life is like a race. And what I'm saying tonight is we can't just jump in and hope to just run 1 mile. We've got to run the whole race. We got to be real, sincere, genuine, authentic Christians. I want to say it again. If God is real, then we need to show this world by being real Christians. Let's be real and let's be genuine. May God help us to that end. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, again tonight, we praise you for the clarity and the truth of your word. There's so many other verses we could have gone to, so many other illustrations of people who lived in hypocrisy. I thank you for the story of even Peter, who was a hypocrite when he denied the Lord 3 times, and yet he went out and he wept bitterly, and he was honest, he was transparent, and he got right, and you greatly used his life. And then there's the story of Judas, who was a total hypocrite, through and through, a total fraud. And Lord, he never repented. The difference is in our repentance. The difference is in our honesty, for you already know what we are like. Lord, I pray that you would remove the masks from our lives. I pray that we would just be transparent. What you see is what you get. Lord, there is so much fake, phony Christianity going on. What this world needs to see is real, genuine Christians. I pray that you would change us by your grace tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we've done in every service, we're just going to bow our heads and close our eyes. If you need to make a decision, just remain seated while the instruments play, while our pianist plays. And if you know that you're living right with the Lord and there is no hypocrisy in your life, then you can be free to stand. But if you need to make a decision about this area tonight, just remain in your seat while our pianist begins to play. Everyone else, just stand to your feet. If God is not wanting you to make a decision tonight, just stand to your feet. If you know you need to talk to God about something tonight, then just remain seated. She'll play through one more verse as we just quietly talk to the Lord. Just respond to the Lord and ask for His enabling power to change you and to be a doer of the Word tonight. Father, how we thank You tonight for what You've done in our hearts. Thank You for speaking to us from Your Word. Lord, I pray that even tonight we would walk out knowing we've looked into the mirror and the mirror has revealed some things that need to change. Lord, help us not to casually push aside the truth about You, the truth about us. But God, I pray that truth will prevail. Truth will inspire us to change, and that Your Spirit and Your Word will enable us to be different as a result of what we've heard. And Lord, I pray that the congregation of Meadowlands Baptist Church would be sent out into this community as genuine, real Christians that draw people to Christ, show the truth of Christ in their life. And Lord, I pray that there'll be no hypocrites. No one that turns others away because of their acting the part. Change us by Your grace. Thank You for this evening. Bring us back tomorrow for another time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you so much for your faithful attendance.